Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your blessing that you have given us on this day. We were thankful, Lord, for another opportunity of life that you have given us. We pray, Lord, that we use this gift in a way, Lord, where we live our lives for you, understanding what you require of us, Lord, in order to make heaven our home. We ask for prayer this evening for our listeners who are on the call. Pray, Lord, that Brother Castorina preach to them and break unto them the bread of life, that he share with them the gospel about your son, Jesus Christ, and the church he built called the Church of Christ. We pray, Lord, that we have a ready listener, someone who is seeking you this evening, Lord, that they may respond with obedient faith and do those things you require of all men to be saved. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless this effort. Thank you for the increase that you have given us. Pray, Lord, that you continue to allow this call to grow beyond the borders of our cities and our states and throughout the entire nation and throughout the world. Lord, we humbly ask this prayer in your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We are very grateful again to have everyone on the call tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call hosted by the Church of Christ in Hollow Heights, located at 1005 West Little New York in Houston, Texas. We're thankful to have each and every person on the call tonight. If you have your Bible, we ask you to open them up tonight and follow along with our speaker in the person of Brother Josue Castorino. He has been serving at the Chevyville Church of Christ there in Chevyville, Tennessee, over the Spanish ministry there, and he's also attended the Memphis School of Preaching and Madison Street Church of Christ there in Clarksville, Tennessee as well, and Monterey School of Preaching. So a very experienced man. We are very thankful that he has chosen to accept our invitation, and we are very thankful to have him on tonight. Brother Josue will be speaking about the topic about why one must be born again. So we asked him to come on this time. What is the truth about this matter? Why one must be born again? Tell us the truth about that.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, and welcome, everybody. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and all the friends that are listening tonight. We welcome you to this call conference, and we hope to learn all together about the Word of God. And the topic that was assigned tonight was the truth about why one must be born again. And we're going to open our Bibles, and we're going to learn from the Word of God the truth about this topic. We're going to let God talk to us tonight, and we're going to let God guide us through these 30 minutes that we're having to preach the Word of God. So I encourage you to open your Bibles with me. We're going to read a lot in the Bible, and we're going to use the Bible a lot. So I want you to be ready, to be prepared for that too. So let's begin with this lesson. And we're going to open our Bibles in John chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 3 to 5. John chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." All right, this is a conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and Nicodemus. Remember, he was a Pharisee, and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ during the night, and he asked this question. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And then the Lord Jesus Christ started talking to him, but maybe it was not what he had in mind. But the Lord Jesus Christ started talking about the kingdom of God and what one needs to do to enter the kingdom of God. The phrase kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God refers to the same kingdom. All right, so we're going to see four things tonight. The truth about why one must be born again, and we're going to answer that in four, we're going to have four answers. The first answer is going to be because it is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. We just read John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, in verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So to be born again, it means that one entered into the kingdom of God. So it is necessary to be born again so one can enter the kingdom of God. We just said that the phrase kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God refers to the same kingdom. And we can read Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 to 24, where the Lord Jesus Christ was spoken to his disciples, and he said these words to them. Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 and 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So these words remind us the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the words of John the Baptist. Remember when they started their missionary work, the first thing that they said were this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3, and let's read the words of John the Baptist. He said, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" These were the words of John the Baptist. But let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying when he began his ministry. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And he said these words, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So those are the words that John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ were saying at the beginning of their ministry. So then, after a few time, the Lord Jesus Christ sent his disciples to preach these words. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to preach. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, and let's read verse 7. Let's start in verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go already to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So these are the words that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to preach. "Go into the Jews and preach to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was with his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, he was talking about the church and he was talking about the kingdom. He used the same, the two words, the same term. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, he was talking about the same thing. He was telling us that the church and the kingdom are the same things. And one thing that comes to our mind is that before Acts chapter 2, we can hear about the kingdom of God in future time or future tense. For example, we can go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and we can read the words of Daniel, where he was talking about the kingdom of God. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and let's read these words of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And we read, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And we just read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. We just read the words of John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ commanding his disciples to go into the Jews and preach about the kingdom of God in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. And we have another verse in Mark chapter 9. This is very interesting because if we read Mark chapter 9, verse 1, we can learn something interesting in these words. "And he said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Some of the people that are here with me are not going to die until they see the kingdom of God come with power. And so, if we read about the kingdom of God from Genesis to Acts, we will see about the kingdom of God in future time or future tense. But if we read from Acts 2 and forward to Revelation, we will find the kingdom in present time or past time. For example, we can go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, and we can read the words of Paul to the Colossians. He said these words to them in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He said, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." See, we can read these words and we can find the kingdom in present time or past time. For example, we can go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 11. "And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me." But we don't have only these verses. We have two more. We have one in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Where the writer of the Hebrew book said these words, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably by reverence and godly fear." And we have another one, Revelation chapter 1, in verse 9. Let's go to Revelation, and let's read chapter 1. And let's read verse 9. "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." So we read a few verses from Acts to the past, and we find a few verses that we're talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, in future tense, future time. But when we go to Acts and forward, we find the kingdom in present or past tense. And we just read Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, Colossians 4, 11, Hebrews 12, 28, and Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. So these are the words that we're talking today. And we can find that why one must be born again. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "Because it is necessary to see and to enter the kingdom of God." The kingdom, the church that Christ established. The church that the Lord Jesus Christ came to establish in this earth. So it is necessary to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of the John the Baptist, the words of the apostles, and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "I will build my church," and then he said, "the kingdom of heaven," in verse 19, Matthew chapter 16. So, my friends that are listening, we need to understand that one must be born, because it is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. And we're going to see later on in these lessons about the kingdom and about the church and about Christ. But let's go to the second point. Why one must be born again? Well, because it is necessary for the remission of sins. It is not an option. We have to understand that it is not an option. We must be born again for the remission of our sins. How can you be born again? Let's ask this question. How can one be born again? Well, the only way to be born again is through baptism. We can go to Romans chapter 6, and we can find an example. In Romans chapter 6, Paul wrote to the Romans these words. And let's read chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Let's take this verse in verse 4, and let's take these phrases of this verse. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. And then let's go to the last part of the verse where he says, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. That means that we have to be a new person. And how can one be a new person? Well, the only way to be a new person is to be born again. And that the only way to be born again is through baptism, as Paul is telling the Romans in these verses. So, baptism brings us to a new life. We are born again through baptism. And baptism is for the remission of sins. That's the reason why one must be born again. So the sins of the person shall be forgiven. So we're saying that to be born again is to be baptized. And Paul is telling the Romans that to be in a newness of life, one must be baptized. And to be baptized, it means that it's for the remission of sins. We can go to Acts chapter 2. So we can learn these words in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, where Peter is talking to the Jews and the first Pentecostals after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, 37, and 38. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, baptism is for the remission of sins. And baptism means that one is born again. So we answer this question, why one must be born again? Well, number one, because it is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. And number two, because it is necessary for the remission of sins. But let's go to point number three. Why one must be born again? Well, because it is necessary to be adopted as children of God. Remember that the church is known as the house of God. The church is known as the house of God. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and he said these words to Timothy, Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read this verse. But if I am delayed, arise so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Okay, so the church is known as the house of God, but also is known as the family of God. If you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, you will find that the church is known as the family of God. Ephesians 2, now 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So, we are adopted as children of God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. Like I was saying at the beginning, we're going to read a lot about the Bible, and we're going to let God talk to us tonight. We're not talking about ourselves. We're not talking about nothing else but about the Word of God. And that's why we're using the Bible a lot tonight. We are adopted as children of God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. See, to be born again is, well, means that we are adopted as children of God through baptism. So the church is known as the house of God, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And it is also known as the family of God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So what the Bible said about this? Well, the Bible said that we are adopted as children of God. So that's why Paul was writing to the Galatians in chapter 6, verse 10, and he was saying these words to them. In verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We have to do well, especially to those of the family of faith, the family of God. We are the son of God. We are the children of God. And that's possible only if we are born again through baptism, as the Bible is telling us tonight. So why one must be born again? Let's repeat. Number one, because it is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. It is necessary to be born again so you can see the kingdom of God and so you can enter the kingdom of God. Why one must be born again? Well, because it is necessary for the remission of sin. It is not an option. We must be born again if we want our sins to be removed, to be forgiven. How can you be born again? Well, the only way to be born again is through baptism. That's why Paul wrote to the Romans, and we read that in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Baptism brings us to a new life. We are born again through baptism, and baptism is for the remission of sins. We read Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and we can read Acts chapter 22, verse 16 also. In Acts chapter 22, in verse 16, we can find the words that Nehemiah told Paul when he was preaching to him. He said these words to Paul in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. See, baptism is for the remission of sins. And baptism means to be born again. Well, number three, because it is necessary to be adopted as children of God. The church is known as the house of God. It is also known as the family of God. So we are adopted as children of God. And we have to do well, especially to those of the family of faith. But we have one more point. Why one must be born again? Well, because it is necessary for our salvation. As we can see, to be born again means that we are saved. Because to become as a child, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. We need to become as children of God to enter the kingdom of God. Let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ said about this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. And say, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. See, it is necessary for our salvation. We need to become as a child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And how one can be as a child? Well, the only way to be as a child or to become as a child is to be born again. There's not another way to do that. The only way to become as a child, to enter the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is to be born again. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was telling his disciples. You need to be as a child. You need to become as a child, as a little children. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. And being in the kingdom means being in the church. We read Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 at the beginning, and we find the words of Paul about the words of Paul to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 13. Let's read it again. Chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Okay? Being in the kingdom means being in the church. Being in the church means being in Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read the words of Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So, being in the kingdom means being in the church. Being in the church means being in Christ. So being in the kingdom, in the church, and in Christ means that we can be sure that we are safe. Because nobody can be safe outside of the kingdom, outside of the church, and outside of Christ. So my friend, if you're listening tonight, we invite you to consider these words. And we invite you to think about this topic, the truth about why one must be born. Well, it is necessary to enter the kingdom of God. It is necessary for the remission of sins. It is necessary to be adopted as children of God. And once you do all these things, well, you're going to be sure that you are safe, because it is necessary for our salvation. So we invited you to consider all these things, and to read Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Let's read it together, and let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ said about these words. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So we invited you, my friend. We invited you, my brother, my sister, who are listening tonight, but especially to those who are not members of the church, we invite you to consider these words, to read about the Word of God. We read a lot of the Scripture tonight because we wanted to God to speak to us, and He just did that. So He's invited you to be born again. And to be born again, it means that you need to be baptized. So we encourage you to find somebody tonight, to find a preacher, to find a brother in Christ, to find somebody close to you, and let them know that you want to be born again, because you want to enter the kingdom of God, because you want your sins to be forgiven, because you want to be adopted as the children of God, and because you want to be saved. If you want to do that tonight, you can find a way to do it. So this is the message that I bring to you tonight. And I hope it helps you in your life. And I hope it helps you to find the truth that we are speaking tonight. God bless you for your attention. And we'll see you next time. Thank you.
And thank you, Brother Osue. We appreciate you so very much for accepting our invitation to speak tonight, and teaching us from the Word of God that to be born again is to be saved and be added to the church. And we're so thankful that you brought this message from the Word of God. To our visiting friends who are on the call tonight, you've heard this gospel. We pray that you will believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Brother Hosea said so tonight, that you may be added to the one church, the Church of Christ. I want to encourage you to get back with the person who invited you to hear this call, and tell them you want to be born again. and we will make sure that they get you in contact with us. However, we want you to email us if you want a Bible study, further studies, if you have a question for Brother Josue, if you want to be baptized, if you email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And if you email us there, we will make sure wherever you're at in the nation, wherever you're at, you're calling from, we'll get a sound brother to you, a sound preacher, and we'll find a congregation to make sure we carry out the baptism or carry out the Bible study to help you save your soul, that you may be a member of the kingdom, that your sins may be forgiven, and that you may be in the house of God and be part of the family of God, and that you may be saved. In the end, it's about saving your soul. If you say, I want to hear this again, I missed some of those scriptures, go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. It's on the World Wide Web, www.HollandHeightsCoc.net. Click on sermons, go to Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. All of our sermons are there. They're downloadable. Our flyers are there. You can listen to them again. We're putting all this in place. Why is that? Because you are our VIP. We believe that Jesus says, one is seeking the truth, they will find it. But only a few will find the truth we taught tonight. Our brother brought the message to you. We thank him for that. And we thank you for listening. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this night. Thank you for this day you've seen us through. We pray you will continue to bless us, Lord, to be all we can be in your kingdom. We pray for the listening audience tonight. They have received with meekness your engrafted word. No one is able to save their souls. We pray that there's someone on the call tonight that have not been born again, that they now understand the importance of being baptized and added to the one church, the Church of Christ. Sin's been washed away. We pray, Father, that they will make that decision before it's everlasting, eternally too late. We thank you for our brothers and sisters across the nation who continue to support our call, continue to support the preaching of simple truth from your book called the Bible, for which we call the Bible, your word, the word of God. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for giving your son. We thank him for shedding the blood on the cross, suffering for 6 long hours on that cross, and shedding the blood to wash our sins away and purchase his church. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank you all for listening. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home for 30 minutes from 9 to 9:30. Thank you for allowing us to bring a sound preacher into your home, teach you a 30-minute lesson that will save your soul. Now is my prayer that as you lay down tonight, that you have a peaceful rest after hearing the truth. God bless you and good night.